podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Things are happening fast here at Run Run Live. Welcome to episode 43, the first of the Treadmill-a-Palooza series episodes. Since I know a lot of you die-hard runners, we'll call you run-hards, secretly wish you owned a super nice treadmill, and it is the holiday season, I made some calls, and I've lined up some industry experts. So, now, if you're a returning listener, you know I usually do a piece at the front and a piece at the back to bookend the featured interview with some running tips and such, but this week, I'm blessed with such a great quantity of treadmill experts by my friend Peter Shankman over at Helper Reporter Out, the website. In order to get all this treadmill mana from heaven in without boring you to death, I'm going to put two featured interviews into this show. It's going to be a little long, a little tight, but we'll get it done. I'm going to leave out the bookend bits to fit it all in. So I'm sure you'll be crushed not to have to listen to me gibber about running tips and my race schedules, but I'm sure you'll survive. I've been upping my Twitter quota today. You can follow me at CYKTRussell, or send me a note and I'll follow you. I looked over at Peter Shankman from the last episode. He's Skydiver, that's his username on Twitter, and he's being followed by 14,500 people. That's amazing. And if you listen to the interview when we talked, is interesting because I was reading his tweets and it looks like the day before he talked to me he was interviewed by Fox Business News and he was tweeting from the green room with LL Cool J. So social networking, so cool. So today I've got Keith Muneer from Smooth Fitness, which is a manufacturer and reseller, online reseller too, of treadmills. And I've also got Joe Travers, who's product manager for Star Trek. And Star Trek, you may be familiar with if you've spent any time in gyms or hotels. They primarily are commercial treadmill producers, but are branching out in the next year or two into the consumer market. So I hope you enjoy the Treadmillapalooza I've got lined up for you, and I certainly learned a lot from it. And we'll see you out there, even if it is on the treadmill down at the club. On with the show.
And now for our featured interview.
So, Keith, we're back.
Hey, Chris.
Back and we're live, so to speak. Not so live, but kind of live. So, yeah, you know, I was looking for somebody that could explain, you know, what to look for in treadmills. Because, frankly, I've never owned a treadmill, but I've worked out on a ton of treadmills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in thousands of hotels across the country. And I've basically my whole knowledge of it, but I don't know how they work, or I don't know who the companies are, or how the industry's set up, or any of that stuff. So you were introduced to me as someone who knows all that stuff.
Okay. It's ironic, a lot of runners.
Why don't you just tell us who you are and what you do? And
sure. My name's Keith Muneer. I'm the VP of Internet Sales and Marketing at Smooth Fitness. We're an online seller of quality fitness equipment, one of the biggest companies around. We're in competition with Smooth Fitness, Precor, Life Fitness, Landis, all the big major brands.
Yep,
sell factory direct online.
Yep.
To consumers across the country.
All right. So if I'm out, first of all, how's this whole fitness equipment industry? What's it look like? Is it a bunch of mom and pops or
The mom and pop stores, that's the way it's been for quite a long time. It was a lot of mom and pop stores all across the country, little dealers in little pockets of the country. But unfortunately for them, that's kind of gone by the wayside. As the economy has gotten a little bit rough, and you see the, you know, the big box stores, you know, the Dick's Sporting Goods, Sports Authority, coming along. They're getting some, you know, good equipment in there. People are going there more for the discount rather than, you know, the special attention that a local dealer would be able to give them.
Right.
And they're really just not able to compete with price, unfortunately, for the local stores. So a lot of them have been going out of business. So you'll see a lot more competitors popping up online and then in the big box stores as well.
So what you sell these things online? Do you actually do online sales and deliver a treadmill to somebody's house via, you know, UPS and a big
Exactly
box?
Right. Yeah, exactly right. We were the first company to do it about 10 years ago. Put treadmills online and ship it from one part of the country to the other. We ship in all 48 states and Alaska and Hawaii with freight forwarders.
Well, that must have cost a fortune to ship a treadmill across the country.
It's really not. We've been doing it for so long. We've gotten our rates down very, very low. And obviously we concentrate, we get good rates by volume. The amount of the units that we sell a year, we're able to get great contract rates. All our shipping is free. It's included in the prices, so it's free to the consumer. If they want an upcharge, an in-room delivery, or a setup and assembly in their home, we can certainly do that. It's just an additional charge.
Sure, sure. I mean, I've seen these things. You know, every winter, when winter starts coming on, you must have a real heavy season, right? Everybody's out trying to buy equipment.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and then every spring, you know, I go down to the transfer station, and there's six or seven of these things lined up, right?
Exactly right.
And I look at them because I'm thinking, oh, maybe I get myself some free equipment, but they're typically pretty low-quality stuff that people have bought, and it's either broken or just isn't functional, you know? So I'm wondering, what's the, you know, can you paint for me the picture or what's available for people?
Sure. What happens is generally when somebody goes out to look for a treadmill and they're not really aware, most people go into a store. That's because that's where you shop first. You go into a store, you get over the sticker shock because you go in and you see some low-end stuff, but then if you're looking at anything good, you realize you're going to spend, you know, a pretty penny for a good quality unit. Unfortunately, most first-timers make the mistake of, you know, purchasing something in the $500 to $800 range because they're just not sure if they're going to use it, or they just can't justify spending that much money, $15,000 to $2,000 on a treadmill, so they use that. And the bad thing is if you use a $500 to $800 treadmill consistently, it won't last. That's just
right.
The reality of it. Unfortunately, if you don't use it, you know, sure, it'll last forever, and you'll be hanging
right.
clothes on it.
And it probably has something to do with the way you use it, too, right? So somebody like me who's a, you know, 30 to 50 mile a week, fairly, you know, fast runner with, you know, close to 200 pounds, I'd probably chew up one of those cheap ones in about a
Without a doubt. Yeah, the old adage, you get what you pay for, couldn't be more true in the treadmill industry. Cheap treadmills just aren't, they're not heavy enough, for one, to hold somebody of your weight, nor of, you know, how much you're going to be using it. But two, you're just not going to get the kind of cushioning and durability. So eventually you're going to get some, you know, shin splints, ankle pains, knee pain, things like that. It's just not going to treat your body well.
Right.
So that's more to the point. One, it's going to wear out, but it's also going to hurt your body.
Yeah, because I, you know, my experience is with club treadmills, right?
And
those are all over the place quality-wise, too. You
right.
get some really nice ones, and you get some crappy ones. And I guess there's two different markets. There's like a, I guess you would call it, what, an industrial market and a home use market, right?
Without a doubt, yeah. It's residential and then commercial.
Okay.
Most people in your home, you don't need a commercial unit unless you know, budget's out the window.
Right. Okay, because I'll tell you a funny story. I killed one last night downstairs in the gym here.
Really?
Yeah. I was adjusting my iPod, and I stepped off the tread and just overloaded the motor.
Oh, wow.
It was done. And that's one of the expensive industrial ones.
Yeah, there you go. You know, it happens even to the best of them.
Yeah. So what are the pieces to this thing? I mean, I'm looking at it. It's got a track on it, you know, and it's got some rollers inside there. I mean, what's going on with the mechanics of these things? There must be a commonality across these things.
There definitely is. You're going to have a belt, a deck, and rollers, and your motor. And basically, your motor's going to power. You know, your motor's going to power everything, pulling the belt, which in turn, you know, makes the rollers pulls the belt. And then it basically acts as a belt sander on the deck. And then the deck is also what you're running on. So you have a lot of wear items. And that's
right.
really when you get into, that's how your treadmill is going to wear out. You don't want a weak motor that's not going to be able to handle the pounding and the weight. You also don't want a deck that's going to, like I said, it acts like a belt sander with friction. Friction is the worst thing in the world for a treadmill. It makes
right.
everything work harder. That's how you burn out motors like you did.
Is that why when I'm in these hotels and these health clubs, every once in a while one of these things will yell at me and say it needs to be waxed?
Yes, without a doubt. It's either wax or silicone. Different manufacturers use different items, but it's either wax or silicone. Yeah, and if you're using it regular use, you want to do it every couple of months. I mean, it's just, again, to prevent friction.
Right. Yep, we know all about friction.
Mm-hmm. And then when you get into the more, I mean, those are the kind of components, but then when you separate, you know, what you want as a runner, you're going to want something heavier. The frame, you get into the frame material, how much that weighs, and then the cushioning system as well, obviously, is a big deal for runners.
Yep, because I've, like you say, the ones in the clubs, I've found some really fantastically cushioned ones that are just marvel. And then you find the cheapo ones that are, like, just terrible, right?
Right, exactly.
You just feel the heat, the strike.
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean,
and there's also something to do with the width of the belt, and also the thickness of the belt. Because some are real thin and hard material, and some are like almost like a rubber composite material.
Exactly. Yeah. Usually your belts are going to be 20 inches wide. That's pretty standard for the industry. You'll get some lower, and a couple are 22 inches, but some of the bigger ones have had issues. So 20 inches wide is usually good. For thickness, again, you don't want it too thick. A lot of the companies have come out with orthopedic belts, which are a little thicker. Unfortunately, that, again, causes friction, and it kind of, you know, makes everything wear a little bit more. You just want a good constructed poly-weave belt that's going to be, you know, just a better quality. And you have a nice backing to it, which is not going to, that way it kind of absorbs the silicone or the wax and prevents the friction.
Okay. So what, you know, if you had to say these are the top 3 to 5, you know, things on the checklist when you're out looking for a treadmill for a runner, what would they be?
Well, I think you first have to look at your budget and have to be honest.
Right.
You know, if it's not worth buying something for $800-$900 if you're going to be running, because that's going to be more expensive in the long run when you make a $900 mistake and then realize you have to spend $2,000.
Right.
So make sure that you're honest with yourself and you can afford, you know, a good running treadmill. Once you do that, then you look at the cushioning system. Obviously, that's going to be pretty important to a runner. So you want to go with one of the better brands that are out there. Generally, you're going to get a good cushioning system in a good manufacturer. It's one of the top 5 manufacturers in their, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 treadmills. You'll get a better cushioning system than anybody else out there.
So how's the cushioning work? Is it in the deck?
The deck gives a little bit of flexibility, but then underneath the deck is really where you get it. You have what they're called rubber grommets underneath the deck, and they act like shock absorbers in your car,
sure. Okay.
Which is really going to absorb a lot of your pounding.
So where the treadmill meets the road, so to speak.
Exactly right. And the more they are, the thicker and the better they are. That's going to give you the flexibility, as well as the deck, too.
So, as any runner knows,
a good pair of shoes.
Yeah, so you got cost and cushioning.
Mm-hmm. Cost, cushioning, I would say stability, too. You want a nice heavy unit underneath you. You know, the worst thing is also to be 240 pounds running at a high rate of speed and the whole unit shaking underneath you.
Yeah.
It's just not a form of comfort.
I understand what you're saying there, too.
After that, I would say the length of the running surface, too. You know, especially if you're getting into high speed, you don't want something that's going to be 50 inches long or, you know, something like that. Or even, well, 50 inches is okay, but you can get some bigger ones also. But you don't want to get into the 45, 46, 48. You want to get, you know, it depends how tall you are, too.
Sure.
You want a long enough running surface. So if you start to fatigue, generally what's happening, if you're going at 6, 7, 8 miles an hour and you start to fatigue, you're naturally going to drift back a little bit.
Yep.
So a lot of the manufacturers, even, you know, we have extended decks, so you can get up to, you know, 62 inches long if you need to.
Huh. That's interesting, especially somebody tall with a long stride, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That you don't want to be bumping up against the front of the thing or sliding up the back. Like
exactly right.
George Jetson.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you, again, my personal experience here is from all over the world, is when I'm doing speed work, I'm running at 10 miles an hour, right? Which seems to really make these things unhappy.
Yes. And they can handle it, but you're right. I mean, you're going to get a little bit of shake to it, certainly. I mean, most treadmills, while they can go 10, 11, 12 miles an hour, it's not the best thing for them, and they're not meant to do that, you know, 24 hours a day.
Right.
But if you get a good enough motor, it's okay. You can do that. And the good thing is what most manufacturers count on, most runners honestly don't like to use treadmills.
Right.
If they're running, they're running outside. So,
right.
You're only going to be on the treadmill when you're supplementing your workout.
Right. Right. Well, you know, one of the things I like about doing workouts on the treadmill is it's easy to define, right? It's very, it's like going to the track, right?
Right.
You can plug in, okay, I'm doing a quarter mile, and it knows it's a quarter mile, you know, more
exactly.
So, I mean, what's the, I always wondered what the sort of variability is in, because like I said, I've been on a bunch of different models and makes and stuff, and I can tell just from, you know, my body memory that when some of these, when they're saying, you know, 7.5 miles an hour, it's not 7.5 miles an hour, right? It's, you know, it says it's doing an 8-minute mile, but it feels to me like an 8:30 or a 7, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sometimes the speed can be off. The good thing, and I'm not sure most good manufacturers, I know for us, it's a fact, your units, your speed can be calibrated. So,
okay.
Yeah, so you can actually, and we call you, you can call us up if your treadmill's ever off. You can call normally any manufacturer, and they can actually recalibrate it with you over the phone. And it's just a simple evaluation of a certain speed. Your belt's supposed to rotate how many times in a minute, and that can tell us exactly what speed it's going and if it's right.
Oh, that's great.
So you can, yeah, you can actually turn the motor up or down and recalibrate it. It's
a
fairly
great.
Simple process, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So obviously, wherever I'm running, they're not bothering.
They're just not right. They're not paying attention to that or maintaining their treadmill. And especially if you're doing it, you know, most home users don't need to ever do that.
Right.
But if you're looking at commercials, sometimes they do need to do that every once in a while.
Right. So, you know, you get your basic stable, good length, good cost, good cushioning, good motor, good length, you know, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500, somewhere in there. And then I'm sure they come with, then you start talking about extras, right?
Right, and that's where, yeah.
What are the extras?
The extras, you can get anything, for, like us, we have a patented motion control feature where you can actually speed up or down the treadmill by just waving your hand over the handrail.
Oh, cool.
It's incredible for runners, especially who are running at fast pace. So
right.
Some of our high-end units, you just literally have to wave your hand. You can turn the feature on or off because some people don't like it. But instead of having to concentrate on hitting a button up on the console, just wave your right hand to speed up, or wave your left hand to speed down, or put both hands out and it'll emergency stop.
No.
I mean, you get little bells and whistles like that. You get also into the programming.
Yeah.
But you don't want to get bored, so you want to have some custom programs. You want to have varied programs that are going to, you know, make you work out harder, push you. So you definitely get into your programs, your heart rate control, where you get a wireless chest strap, and the machine will create, you know, intensify your workout, keep you in a target heart rate zone.
Yep, yep.
Those are some of your extras as well.
Yeah, you know, I've always struggled with that, you know, using club treadmills because I travel around a lot, right? Is
mm-hmm.
that the programming. There's like four or five standard sets of programming, so I've got it sort of figured out by now. But when I'm putting in the, let's say, an interval set, some of them will make you actually know the total time of the workout before you start entering the intervals.
Right.
And some other ones, and the ones, they always have you do the interval first. They don't give you any warm-up. You know, it's really, it's kind of kludgy in most cases. You know, so do you have some sort of custom programming that you...
Yeah, and that's where you get into. Most manufacturers are going to give you a couple custom programs, which are really, really nice. And like you said, because you want a little bit of a warm-up, a cool-down period at either end. And basically a custom program, a good custom program, you can actually control the speed and incline settings through different segments of your program. So
okay.
You're literally making a custom program. So, you know, for the first 2 minutes, you want to walk for a couple miles an hour in an incline just to warm you up. Then you want
right.
to do a jog for another couple minutes.
Right.
And then you want to go all out in your run, and that'll get you up there. And then even while you're up and running, you want to do a little bit of incline. If you're doing any type of interval training, you can do that as well. Make your own programs.
So, you know, when I've been running, you know, and I'm probably outside the bounds of your typical treadmill user as a runner, but I have always found that I should set it at like a 1 degree elevation
mm-hmm.
to simulate just normal running for me.
Okay.
And so I don't know what, because I've heard people say it both ways, you know, that it's, you should always set it at 0.5 or 1 or 0, you know, to simulate outdoor running.
I've heard that, too. I've heard 1%. The ironic thing, and I would say it's probably been started by a manufacturer before because that actually helps the motor as well.
Oh.
If you have a little bit of an incline, it helps your motor, and it doesn't put as much stress on the motor, so you're actually doing your treadmill a favor, too.
But there's no rhyme or reason to that. There's no factual need.
I've heard the 1% for to simulate road running, yeah, just because I think you're just in a natural, you know, you never, when you're outside, you're never on a flat surface. You're either going down or up, and I think the 1% or
right.
just even 1, 2, 3% incline where it doesn't seem like it's too much to you, but, you know, your body definitely feels it and your muscles feel it.
Yeah, I always thought that the, you know, the programs they should come with should be like, you know, famous races. You know, you just plug in here. I want to run the Peachtree. You know, I want to run Boston Marathon. That would plug in all the all the elevation.
That's a great idea.
But I guess, do they make treadmills that go downhill?
They do. There are a couple. There's not too many, but they do make a couple treadmills with a decline.
Huh.
I honestly don't know them off the top of my head, but I've seen one or two.
I've seen people that will actually block up the back of them to get the decline out of them.
I have seen that too as well, yep. not a safe way, and yeah. I don't recommend it.
Maybe not OSHA compliant.
It's certainly not.
All right, so what are the major manufacturers? You know, who are the players out there?
The big players? It's definitely Smooth Fitness. You have Precor. You have Life Fitness, Landis. You know, those are the real key players that are really in the industry right now as your upper echelon. You'll get into.
I think there's a lot of
Star Trek.
Being out there and, like I said, seeing a lot of different treadmills. I've seen the same exact treadmills with the same programs and the same profiles with different labels on them.
Yeah. There are certain manufacturers that have definitely a lot of different units out there. Icon Health and Fitness is one of them. They have, I believe, 9 or 10 different names out there, anywhere from Nordic Track, Health Rider, Image, Gold's Gym.
Okay.
They're generally going to be in your big box stores, sold online. More of the discount treadmills, you'll find those anywhere from $399 to $1,499. Definitely started to raise their price points and get into that higher end, the higher price point lately. But yeah, they have about 9 or 10 different labels out there.
Yeah, because the one I'm running on in this club that I have downstairs is called Quintron. I don't know what the heck that is.
Quinton, maybe? Could just be Quinton without the R?
Quinton, yeah.
Quinton. Yeah, that's a fairly high-end unit.
Okay, and I killed it, so.
You should be proud. That's pretty good. I'm honestly not sure if they're still around, but yeah, that's a pretty high-end unit.
I think they've been there for a while. And the other thing that it has on it, it says Polar enabled or Polar mm-hmm. certified. What does that mean?
Quinton, I mean, Polar is basically your heart rate strap.
Okay.
It's Polar is a company who makes heart rate straps and watches that are either, you can buy them standalone, so you can wear a strap while you're out walking, running on the road, so you can actually put the chest strap on and transmit your heart rate to your watch, to a watch that they give you, a little digital watch. But most companies nowadays will have the wireless chest strap. It's made by Polar, and it interacts with your heart rate control program.
Okay, so if I had the right equipment, this treadmill would pick up my heart rate from my heart rate monitor, is what it's telling me.
Exactly.
Huh.
Yeah, it probably came with a heart rate strap.
Yeah, it has something down there. You're supposed to put it on your finger. That's not going to happen.
Well, they have the finger, which generally in a commercial setting you'll find something like that. Put it on your finger, something like that, but just because you don't want to have the chest strap, most people aren't going to wear a chest strap after the person used it before them.
Right.
So,
all right. This is all great stuff. So what's your website? How do people get to you?
They can find us right on the web at www.smoothfitness.com. We're open 7 days a week via telephone, 8 to midnight, so we have fitness consultants available to answer any questions. Obviously, our website's open all the time. We have great weekly specials. We offer free shipping, one of the best warranties out there. Like I said, we're one of the top brands out there.
Awesome. So what's your best treadmill story, your funniest, best, shocking treadmill story?
Shocking treadmill story. Well, I've been at this for quite a long time.
Stupidest thing you've seen somebody do, because I'm sure there's a lot of them.
I've heard people, unfortunately, get thrown off of them before for things that they've done. It was their fault, trying to run backwards, things like that. Running with somebody. I had one customer call and said that they were running with somebody, and they fell off. I mean, you'd be surprised. I've been here over 8 years, and I started off on the phones, you know, as a sales rep, and I've heard quite a few stories.
I bet a lot of people try to run their dogs on them too.
I've actually sold one to a kennel who did who let their dogs. They exercised their dogs on it. Definitely.
Oh, that's awesome.
We don't recommend that either, and I don't think our warranty handles that. But they purchased it anyway.
My dog would love that. I'd never get them off.
Yeah. Definitely. No, it's the dogs have to run too. So.
All right, Keith. I'm gonna let you go.
Okay, Chris, I appreciate
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for explaining all this to me. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. I appreciate the time.
All right. We'll
Thanks.
Talk.
Have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. We're back.
All righty.
So how are things in beautiful Irvine today?
It's been raining all day. put it that way. It's actually better than it was last weekend, which was 95 degrees and winds and fire. So we'll take the rain. Much
yeah,
better.
I was Twittering or reading somebody's Twitter from out there that said last week they were worried about the fires and this week they're worried about the mudslides.
Yep, that's exactly what's going on. A few coworkers had to leave early to make sure their houses are okay this week, as they had close calls last week. So it's a crazy little land that we live in here.
Yeah, at least you get the warm weather.
Yeah, usually.
So we're talking because you are the product manager for Star Trek.
Yes, product manager for cardio products at Star Trek.
So we're a running podcast, right, for runners, and mm-hmm. So we all use a lot of treadmills, but you guys are the sort of the industrial side of the treadmill business, the commercial side, right?
That's how we got our start, yes. We're starting to dabble more into consumer goods now, and actually by 2010 we see that taking about 15 or 20% of our company up, possibly.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you... Why don't I give you this opportunity to give me, you know, the 20 words or less or the 200 words or less on, like, who you are and what you do and what you're working on, and we'll talk about treadmills.
Okay. Well, the basics of Star Trek, we've been around for, 29 years now, yeah. We started out, as far as fitness was concerned, we actually started out as an electrical components company providing circuit boards and electrical assemblies for the old life cycles.
Okay.
And since then, we expanded into making some of the first commercial-grade treadmills out there. From, I'd say, then up until about 2002 or so, we were deemed as solely just a treadmill company. And since then,
right.
we've spread our wings a little bit. We brought on the spinning brand product for group cycles. And
okay.
We also expanded our cardio offering to offer bikes, total body trainers, and steppers. In 2004, we acquired a strength line, and this is pretty much from then on made us a complete fitness company. We provide all sorts of commercial solutions for fitness equipment.
Oh, so that's good. You guys have been growing.
Yep, we've been growing anywhere from 20 to 30% year over year since I've been here, and I've been here for 5 years. Economic times are a little difficult now, but we still seem to be pushing through it fairly well.
Yeah, I figured now is a good time for me to talk to people about treadmills because it's like the holiday season, right? And all the runners secretly wish they had a nice treadmill they could run on instead of go out in the cold.
Yeah, but we're from California. We don't know what cold is.
The mudslide. The mudslide.
Yeah, so, very true,
yeah,
though.
I'm real familiar with your equipment because I've been a business traveler for, 20 years. So
uh-huh.
I've been in health clubs and hotels all around the country. I'll tell you my Star Trek story, which is the health club I used to belong to had the nicest treadmills, and I think they were yours. They had a really wide belt and a really long belt, and they were really rugged and heavy, and they had a belt that was, like, really rubberized. It was almost like, one of those moonwalk things when you're running on it. It
uh-huh.
felt great. So I think that was your equipment.
Yeah, could have possibly been. It's funny, the moonwalk description has been tossed around. There's so much regards to treadmill decks and treadmill belts, and people seem to like the soft feel that's assimilated with that description. So
being a high mileage heavy guy, right? I'm beating the crap out of a treadmill when I'm running on it. It just seems like the ones with the real stiff decks tend to give me, almost like shin splint pains, right?
Yeah.
So
I know exactly what you're saying. I had shin splints all through high school and after that. So having
right.
a comfortable deck and a nice cushiony surface is definitely a plus when it comes to running on a treadmill.
So what are the major components that you work with in the treadmill? I mean, what makes up a treadmill, a Star Trek treadmill?
Well, when you compare from competitor to competitor, I mean, it's treadmill's really a very basic thing compared to a lot of other components. It consists of the frame and then the belt, deck, and roller that creates the running surface that you run on. And then
right.
there's the display and the handrails, of course, which the user interacts with directly. So it's
right.
it's very simple compared to a lot of other things we look at. But speaking directly towards just the running environment and people running on treadmills, the deck system, the belt and deck system, is probably the most important that you want to you want to discuss, and that's where you're going to really see your benefits in some companies and advantages in some companies over others. So
okay,
we can talk about that a little bit if you want.
Yeah, that would be great. What are the ins and outs of the deck and the belt system? That, and I would imagine the motor's real important too, especially you know, for a guy like me who's pushing 190 something pounds.
The motor is definitely important. If you look at the big players as far as commercial treadmills are concerned, out of everybody, I would say off the top of my head, thinking about it, there's probably only about four or five different motors that are actually used. They're all an AC electronic type system that pump out anywhere from 4 to 6 horsepower. And when we speak about commercial treadmills, those are always rated anywhere from 350 upwards to 500 pounds for user weight. So
all right,
for the most part, it's the motors that we put in commercial treadmills are overkill. So
right,
everybody errs on the safe side of that, and you see most companies back that up with at least a 5-year or more warranty on the motor system itself. It's that robust, it's that strong.
Right. Yeah. So I always look at treadmills, and you figure when you're running, you must be pushing something, but you're not really. You're not adding any energy back to the deck, are you? I mean, is there any positive energy coming back from when I'm running into the system?
You're really not. Nothing's going back into the system to drive the system or to help out the electrical components of it. You're not putting any power back into the system. Treadmills are all, I can't speak for everything, but most all treadmills, especially commercial grade treadmills, are plugged into a wall, and you're not pushing it along. It's more or less pulling you along, per
se.
I guess that might make sense.
No, I was more thinking, is that a possibility? I mean, is there, it's not, but it seems to me like it isn't fighting you at all, you know, so the motor's running and you're basically trying to keep up, right?
Yeah, basically. And the gold mine in commercial treadmills right now were to be, if someone were to be able to develop a self-powered treadmill, that's something that it's a difficult task to look into and to actually make happen. But if one of us in the commercial environment was to be able to create a self-powered treadmill where your energy that you put in actually powers a treadmill, we'd knock everybody else out.
Right, or pushes energy back into the power grid, right, to keep the lights on.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, the green push is definitely out there, and especially with electricity bills increasing year over year, it's something the clubs definitely look at.
Yeah, you'd have to have something with some big inertial thing built into it, like the spinning bikes.
Absolutely, because it would have to keep it going. And you look at the motors, and there's a flywheel in there right now. Maybe about an 18 or 20-pound flywheel, but we'd be looking at something much bigger if you had to go self-power.
Right, and you wouldn't be able to stop it, just like the spin bikes. You know, once you get it spinning, it would rip your legs off if you tried to stop it.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that's interesting.
Therein lie the challenges that we're faced with, too, to make a self-powered treadmill in the future.
That's interesting. So when you have these, these health clubs or hotels come to you and buy your treadmills, you know, they're buying like a fleet of them, right?
Normally, yes.
Yeah.
We'll see the onesie twosies here and there, but we sell to everyone from the large chains, the large commercial chains like a Gold's Gym or 24 Hour Fitness, all the way down to the mom and pop stores. So I've seen installs upwards of 110 treadmills going into one place, and all the way down to one or two treadmills. It really, really depends on the customer.
Now, you guys must know what the utilization is on those treadmills in gyms. So you guys must have, like, standards where you know that a treadmill's running, 8.3 hours a day on average during the week in a gym or something like that?
Yeah, we do have standards that we test to for the commercial environment, and you're pretty close to dead on. You have to assume that it's going to be running for at least 8 hours a day, 5 to 7 days a week, because it's not just one person in a home that's running on this treadmill. A commercial environment definitely has a much higher usage, and we're able to track that usage through the treadmills as well. The software is built to where we could go in there, you know, months down the road or years down the road, and see exactly how many hours have been logged on that treadmill and how many miles it's gone through.
So, oh, that's cool.
Quite a bit of data involved in tracking all that data and then testing new products out based off of that data.
That's great. So what's the big difference between a commercial model and, you know, something somebody might have in their house for, you know, $1,200?
Size and strength of it is the biggest thing that you're going to see, number one. I mean, you look at a lot of consumer treadmills out there. They may weigh 200, 220 pounds. A lot of them fold up and are easy to stow away. You compare that to a commercial treadmill that might weigh almost 400 pounds, has a much bigger frame, a much sturdier frame to endure the harsher conditions that it would go under. Larger components, say in the belt, deck, and roller system, larger bearings, things like that. Just the commercial treadmill is essentially the consumer treadmill on steroids as far as its construction is concerned.
So all the components are beefed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you guys going to do with your consumer line? You're going to come out with something that's a little bit I don't want to say less robust, but something a little bit more consumerish to offer to consumers?
Yeah, less robust isn't the way that we like to look at it. We like to look at just the right product for the market.
Right.
We don't need to build as much durability and stability into it. There's quite a few different things that we're looking at right now. A few manufacturers in China we're starting to partner with and discussing what that treadmill is going to be and what product line is going to go with it as well. We're also looking into consumer bikes, consumer total body trainers, which is the elliptical category. It's not just treadmills that we're looking at. So we'll see more of that come out in 2009. I'm not at too much of a liberty to discuss exactly what we're doing with that, but things will definitely be rolling out in 2009.
Yeah, sure. I walked through Sears today. I wasn't looking at treadmills, but I walked by them. So I was looking at the prices, and they go everywhere from like $300 to $1,100 for a retail treadmill. Is that about the range? I would have actually thought there were more. I would have actually thought a good treadmill would be like $2,000 or $2,500. What's the range?
You can definitely find them for more. That's for sure. When it comes to the consumer end of things, $300 is definitely going to be the low end. You'll see consumer treadmills in online stores and also in large sporting goods chains that'll go upwards of $3,500, even $4,000 sometimes. We even sell some of our high end commercial goods into consumer environments as well. I mean, our highest end treadmill. You get it's a commercial grade. You get an embedded touchscreen with a computer driven software system inside there. It's got all the bells and whistles for $11,000. You might find that in somebody's home still. So
yeah, well, you guys got movie stars out there on that coast. So
yeah, some of them live here. you'd be surprised to see how many of those high end treadmills go into consumer homes in the West Coast, on the East Coast, worldwide as well. A lot of places in Europe do that. So
yep. It's cold and miserable out here. So if you can afford it, you should do it. No, and I guess my point is that if you're a high mileage runner, you're not going to get a $300 treadmill because it'll last you for about a week.
Absolutely not. And if you're a high mileage runner, I think your main concern is going to be how you feel while you're running. You mentioned earlier, if you're on a stiff deck, yourself personally, you get the pain in your shins almost like shin splints are starting up. And
yeah.
If I'm an avid runner and I want to put something in my garage or put something in my living room, I'm going to make sure that it's comfortable for me. So a commercial grade treadmill may be a better route for someone like that.
So Joe, what are the big innovations that you've seen over the years? I mean, what do you see coming on the pike? I'm really fascinated by, there must be a lot of opportunities to put some great software in these things.
Yeah, and that's where we're going right now. If you looked at the world of treadmills, the world of commercial treadmills 3 years ago, it was pretty simple. It was just the standard little LED display readout with the red dots and maybe a few little bells and whistles here and there. But entertainment has taken on a whole new meaning in treadmills and in the cardio world. 2 years ago, if you looked out at the entire population and you asked how many treadmills had a television attached to it or an embedded touchscreen type of display, you may be talking about 10 to 20% of all of the commercial treadmills out there. And here we are in 2008, and the majority of commercial treadmills and commercial cardio equipment have entertainment. We're over 50% of all of those pieces of cardio are going to have a television, an embedded touchscreen, something like that. So just in the last couple of years, the innovations have really driven towards entertaining and getting the user's mind off of what they're actually doing. And if I'm on a treadmill for a 6 mile run, that's a good 50 to 65 minutes, depending on how you're how your pace is, you want to be distracted a little bit and get your mind off of that run. So that's when you get a television in front of the treadmill or a touchscreen inside of it. So that's...
I know what you mean, because I've been in some high-end resorts where they have the full, you know, flat-screen movie deal, all that stuff built right into the treadmill. And I was wondering whether that's like an add-on or is that something that comes with the treadmill?
It depends. Here at Star Trek, we do it many different ways. We like to pride ourselves on thinking that we offer every possible entertainment solution that somebody could ask for in a treadmill. We do everything from the base model, which I was saying before is just the standard LED red dot readout on the display, all the way up to having a 15-inch HD embedded touchscreen inside the display itself. And, you know, with something like that, you get, of course, cable feed in there so that you can watch television. We have an iPod docking station in there. We're licensed by Apple to have the made-for-iPod docking station in our
treadmill. That's cool. See, now that's something that's really useful.
Yeah, it serves many functions. You could charge your iPod while you're working out. You listen to your audio songs on there. We even have it set up to where you could display video from your video iPod on that 15-inch touchscreen. So there's all sorts of great features with that.
Oh, that's cool.
So as far as where we're going, we offer it many, many different ways when it comes to
anything. Any innovations in the mechanics of it? Like, you know, you see what they're doing with the Wii systems now? You know, any innovations coming with that sort of thing where you could, you know, find yourself in a virtual Boston Marathon or something?
We're looking into things like that, believe it or not. When it comes to software and when it comes to having a touchscreen inside a display, the possibilities start to become endless. Software is a great thing. You could install this treadmill into your facility, and 2 years later there might be a software update that allows you to, say, run a Boston Marathon or compete in a 5K against someone on the treadmill right next to you. So there's innovations like that we're definitely looking into. And like I said, software is a beautiful thing. All you have to do is update it in the field, and lo and behold, you have a brand new feeling treadmill.
Sure, and I was actually thinking of that when I was working out yesterday on the treadmill, looking around. There's definitely some social networking component that could be built into it, you know, if you had a room full of people on treadmills.
Absolutely. It's kind of adapts to the Web 2.0 that's going on right now, or the viral communications that we see online, where communities are more taking over than standard advertising to get messages across to the public.
Exactly.
That sort of environment and that sort of community that's spreading into the fitness industry fairly quickly. So we want to be able to take what we have in our treadmills and in our software and adapt it to communities like that in the future.
Right. You could do, you know, you could be playing iPod roulette with everybody's iPods in the whole gym, you know. So that's cool. How many people call you guys to make a lame Star Trek joke?
I get it more just walking around if I'm wearing a Star Trek shirt in the neighborhood than anything. But hear it. We definitely hear it. Somebody will look at my shirt and smirk, and I have to look at them and say it's a treadmill company, you know, or a fitness company, not a space guy.
See, being a runner, I didn't even think of Star Trek until somebody told me today when I was talking to you this afternoon.
Yeah.
So, all right, great. That's you know, we're getting close to the end of the line here. Anything else you want to add, or how do we find you? And
well, we're always on the web at www.startrek.com. And for further information beyond what's on our website, you could always contact us. There's phone numbers and there's email addresses on there to contact us. Like I said in the very beginning, before we even started recording this, I'm an open book here. All of our product managers, you could get a hold of us very easily. Ask us the specific questions. We get tons of questions every day, and we're here to educate, and we're here to help people learn more. So
That's great. This has been fantastic, Joe. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day to talk to me.
Not a problem. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay. Take care, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. That's it. Episode 43, Treadmillapalooza in the can. I'm going to cut it short today to keep it from running too long. Already over my 40 minutes. And we'll see what we can hustle out for you next week, all right? Enjoy your holidays. Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.